written, which no man knows, saving he that received it. This is where we get that gospel song, there's a new name written down in glory, and it's mine. You'll either have your name written in the earth, the scripture says, or written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Don't allow your name to once be written and to be blotted out. The scripture talks several times about blotting names out of the Book of Life. Don't let it happen to you. Become an overcomer. Thanks for joining us. Become an overcomer. Send your gifts by faith to Save America Ministries, P.O. Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia 23255. And those who don't overcome are going to receive the mark of the beast. That's right. They'll compromise to do it. Get a copy of Seduction of the Saints. Your gift of $18 or more to Save America Ministries. Order at our website, saveus.org. God bless you. Be a blessing and become an overcomer.
You've been listening to Viewpoint with Chuck Grismire.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and, well, for the next hour, they're going to be the views of those of you out there in the listening audience, because this is going to be an open lines program. Our regularly scheduled guest was unable to be with us, and we didn't do a open line on Wednesday, so it's going to be you and me, and hopefully you'll give us a call at 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. But for those of you who are living in the Central Coast of California, I would comment that tomorrow, Saturday, I'm going to be actually doing a debate on KSCO with a doctor who supports the H1N1 so-called swine flu vaccination program, and that'll be at from 10 to 12 on the Saturday special with the host Michael Sperling. So if you'd like to listen in, I don't know if it'll be worthwhile or not, but I will be expressing my deep concern about what I feel is a totally fraudulent and dangerous program. Now, why do I think the swine flu vaccination program is dangerous? Why? Because vaccination itself is an effort to trick the immune system into actually believing that you're under attack by a virus or a bacteria or a toxin, and to stimulate an immune response, but you do it artificially. And ordinarily, we have an amazing immune system. God designed it in such a way that it's almost beyond comprehension, but we ordinarily, of course, get infected by either ingesting viruses or inhaling viruses, and of course, we then mobilize the attack phase, of the white blood cells stream out to attack the viruses, to keep them from getting into the cells, and at the same time they send a message to the so-called B cells. They come from the bone marrow, the lymphocytes, and we tell them to mobilize and start making antibodies, which they do. It takes a little while to do that, but as they put out the antibodies and the T lymphocytes begin mobilizing, why then, of course, we begin to control the disease, and we go through three stages: the acute stage, the stage where, of course, you have to have regulation because you don't want the immune system to get overstimulated and begin to attack your own body and create all sorts of hyperimmune problems. And then, of course, you have to go to a stage where you shut the whole thing down, and it all happens automatically, and you and I have nothing to do with it. It's the way we're designed, the way the immune system in animals and human beings is designed, an amazing process. which works and works very efficiently. Only here, of course, what we're trying to do is stimulate the whole thing artificially, and this is where you begin getting into problems. And the more you stimulate this immune system artificially, the more allergic type of reactions you get. For instance, 1 in 9 American children is allergic, but you don't see this in the Amish children. I should say 1 in 9 American children has asthma, but you don't see it in the Amish children who do not take the vaccines. And, of course, we see that 1 in about 6 American children has some sort of a neurodevelopmental or learning disability. 1 in 6 children, and you just don't see this in children that aren't vaccinated. 1 in 100 children, within the last week they've announced that 1 in 100 children in this country is autistic. Because of the prevalence for boys, that really means you're going to be seeing it in about 1 in every 60 or 70 boys. Their lives are ruined. Their parents' lives are ruined. Give us a call, 1-888-24 Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and we're simply talking about the problems that we have, very real problems, but nobody seems to be too concerned about them, and this is why we're hoping that people will begin to understand that this whole idea of massive vaccination and repeated vaccination is not a healthy thing. Yes, amazing things have been accomplished. Vaccines are amazing. So they believe that the original smallpox vaccination was an amazing thing. We don't have any smallpox in the world, and this is a wonderful, wonderful thing. And certainly the rabies vaccine was a wonderful, wonderful thing. But of course, 1 in every 400 people who takes the rabies vaccine will get an encephalitis from it, and of course will die. But it's a small price to pay when you think of hydrophobia and the complications of rabies, and certainly polio vaccination was an amazing accomplishment, except they made one little mistake, and they've killed millions of people as a result of that one little mistake by introducing cancer viruses into the population, monkey cancer viruses and stealth viruses of the viral infections of monkeys into human beings. And we were never intended to have to deal with those viruses, and it's all been done artificially. And certainly we've modified the course of childhood diseases, an amazing, amazing thing. But at what cost? And, of course, that is what nobody wants to talk about. And that's what we have to talk about, and what I'll be talking about tomorrow. And as we begin to clarify the issues as far as the vaccination is concerned, because we're seeing ever more autoimmune disease. And what is autoimmune disease? Why, it's when your body's immune system doesn't turn off after it's been stimulated, and it begins then to consume your own body. And, of course, this is why so many people are developing various types of Hashimoto's disease, which is a thyroiditis, and rheumatoid arthritis, and Sjögren syndrome, and a myriad of autoimmune diseases, multiple sclerosis, certainly anterior lateral sclerosis, peripheral neuritis, and chronic colitis, mental problems, and many of these tragic people who have the so-called chronic fatigue syndrome-like symptoms, suddenly, they just can't think, or they're living in a perpetual fog. We're going to be back here in just a moment and look forward to your calls. This is Dr. Stan here. We're looking forward to your calls. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And what's really so interesting about the unfolding of the swine flu epidemic across America is something we've talked about in the past, and that is that they're getting the vaccine far too late. They've ordered about 230 million doses of a vaccine that is totally unnecessary. totally unnecessary, even if you believe in vaccination, because the majority of the vaccine is going to arrive long after the epidemic has passed, and the majority of the American people are immune to the disease, and the last thing you want to do is start vaccinating people and vaccinate them repeatedly for a disease that they are already immune to. And of course, here again, you're overstimulating the immune system, and you can bring on these conditions of hypersensitivity, of allergies, hay fever, asthma, autism, or of course you can bring on these so-called autoimmune diseases where the body begins to attack itself. And that's a really rather frightening thing. And we see so many people today, a growing number of people with autoimmune disease, because we've tried to fool the immune system, and I believe there have been terrible consequences on this. And every effort to do further investigations on this has been effectively blocked by the people who are controlling the healthcare delivery system, because there are billions of dollars to be made from these vaccinations. In fact, it's estimated that the swine flu vaccine could generate something like $40 or $50 billion for the vaccine industry. And what we're doing in the United States today is vaccinating people. The vast majority of already are immune to the disease. Now, what's so interesting, an article just appeared in the New York Times, pointed out that in the major cities like New York and Boston and a few of the others, they're having very, very few cases of swine flu. Yes, there are some areas of the country in the Middle West where they're really having a lot of cases, but they're not having very many cases in New York and the other major cities because the epidemic swept through there. It swept there through there early in the year, and of course they've already had their epidemic. The epidemic is past. Most people are immune to the disease. They're seeing very few people coming to the doctor, but you see, most people don't understand, and they're going to fall victim to this massive propaganda campaign they're putting on, and you see it every night on television as they try to sell us, take this vaccine, and a lot of people are going to take the vaccine because they assure us it's safe and there are no complications, and they're simply lying. And, of course, the problem is that they're going to actually get a hyper-immune response, and some of these people are going to have serious health results from this. The CDC, to get rid of the vaccine, is suggesting two shots of the H1N1 virus for every child, but from 6 months of age through 10 years of age or to 9 years of age before they're 10. And the result of that is going to be that they're going to get the old two doses of mercury each with about 25 micrograms of mercury. And then of course, they want them to have two more doses of regular seasonal flu vaccine, which will give them another 50 milligrams of micrograms of mercury, plus the aluminum. And, of course, aluminum is terribly toxic, and it directly attacks the brain. Nobody ever wants to talk about that, but we heard a wonderful discussion this last week by our good friend Dr. David Ayoub, who's researched aluminum, and of course we're taking massive doses of aluminum in our vaccines. They put it in there as an adjuvant, but of course the people who deal with aluminum, this is mainly the renal doctors who are doing dialysis, point out all the complications of aluminum toxicity. Well, we've got Eric calling from Michigan. Our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. It's open lines. We'd love to hear from you. Hi, Eric. How are you doing?
Hi, Dr. Stan. Doing well, and I concur 1,010% with your discourse on this tragic scam, as they all are. In fact, I hearken everyone who might be listening to your previous interviews with, I believe it was a PhD microbiologist, a fellow from his website that I remember is labvirus.com.
Mm-hmm.
Book, The Horrors of Vaccination, or maybe not his book, but a book that he said he does carry. and strongly recommend it.
Oh, that's Dr. Truot, yes. We actually have the book and have read it. It was written back about 1922 as a report to President Wilson, or report to the President, pointing out the dangers of typhoid and the other immunization programs. And certainly it's a fascinating book to read from a historical point of view. Did you have a question you'd like to ask?
Here's what happened a few nights ago. I called after your show because I get so inspired, and oftentimes I can't get to sleep for several hours. So I switched through the AM dial, and I found this KMOX out of St. Louis, and there's an all-night talk format show. So the guy, the host, was literally berating callers who were challenging the government and the mainstream AMASD pharma cabal's position on the wondrous merits of all these vaccinations, and he was just beating them up. So I called up and I brought to his attention the doctors that you've interviewed and scientists, and when I brought up Russell Blaylock, he says, well, some of those doctors are quacks. So he, on the show, gets to a website called quackwatch.org. And he purportedly pulled down Russell Blaylock's name as one of the celebrated quacks at that website. And I know it's all propaganda, disinformation. So I responded in the appropriate manner by challenging him to go to other websites of other, like Carolyn Dean, .com, and of course labvirus.com. Of course, he tried to paint me in a most, unqualified, uninformed position possible.
Well, I try to tell you what, Eric, next time that happens, just ask him, who is it who funds, Quack Watch? Ask him who funds Quack Watch, and I will tell you, it is being funded by the people who want to suppress the truth. In fact, one of the doctors they list there was a doctor who was in charge, basically, of chemotherapy research at the National Institute of Health for probably 15 to 20 years, Dr. Dean Burke, who they call a quack. And, of course, he was in charge of the chemotherapy research. I talked to him, before he passed away or was hounded to death or whatever he died. But Dr. Burke, of course, told me that actually he was very concerned about the chemotherapy that was being used across America. Here's the number one researcher at the National Institute of Health, the National Cancer Institute, in charge of that. And as he was saying, Laetril is far more effective than chemotherapy. Now, here was a government employee, and I talked to him, and I said, well, what about that report that came out of came out some years ago that said Laetril didn't work. It came out of Sloan Kettering. He said that was a doctored report. They specifically doctored that report because they did not want the American people to know that Laetril worked. Now, certainly we have lots better things today than Laetril, but you have to understand there is a population control agenda. And the last thing they want is an effective treatment for cancer. We started a massive war on cancer back in 1965. We put out literally tens of billions of dollars on research. Much of this research has been very valid and has shown the very effective means of controlling cancer. It has been totally suppressed. And, of course, anybody who wants to tell the truth, they're probably going to attack on Quack Watch, but ask him who funds this. And I would suggest that the people who don't want the American people to get the truth. Hey, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. And I will tell you that a number of doctors that they attack on Quack Watch are very good doctors who are simply trying to get the truth out. And you have to understand there's a lot of good things on the Internet, but, of course, the enemies of freedom, the pretty wicked people, are using it as well to disseminate your disinformation. And I appreciate your fact that you you did put in the call, Eric.
Well, I tell you what, Dr. Stan, every night that I'm up that late, I'm calling the program, and I'm going to be this fellow's nemesis as much as possible to get the facts out, because he even said that Carolyn Dean, who was a previous editor of the New England Journal of Medicine, isn't that right?
Her name wasn't Carolyn Dean, but I know who you're talking about. Go ahead.
Well, anyhow, yeah, she was a previous editor, along with Marcia Engel and Jerome.
It was Martha Angel that Dr. Angel was the previous editor, at least the one that I'm acquainted with. Perhaps Carolyn Dean was as well. I don't know her at all. But Marcia Angel was the previous editor of the New
England Journal. And then I asked the guy, who actually created Quackwatch? And he hung up on me, so I called the library the next day, and the librarian said, a psychiatrist.
Okay. Hey, we're out of time. God bless, and thanks very much for calling, Eric. And keep up the good work. Just keep the pressure on, okay? Our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Give us a call. We'd love to hear from you. Well, we've got George calling from Toronto. No, there we are. Hi, George. What happened to George? Let's see if we can get George.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount gold and silver trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Most Americans are iodine deficient today because they stopped adding iodine to our milk and to our flour, and only about half of the salt that's consumed in the United States today contains iodine. So Radio Liberty has produced a 4-tape or a 4-CD set that discusses the health benefits of iodine. We also offer iodorol. It contains 12.5 milligrams of iodine per tablet. And we also offer potassium iodide tablets that'll protect your thyroid gland in case there's a nuclear attack. So if you'd like to order these products or obtain additional information, why don't you call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Or go to our website at radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com. Once again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Berkey water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Berkey water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
464-8295. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. We've got George from Toronto. Hi, George. How are you doing?
I'm great, Dr. Stan. How are you?
I'm doing just great.
Dr. Stan, you being familiar with the medical system and how it works, this is maybe a dumb question, but does the average GP get any kind of kickback to tell his patients to take the vaccine shot?
No. The average GP, the average doctor, really wants to help his patients. I mean, I don't think I can ever remember a doctor, other than those that I met who were working for government or working within the hierarchy of the California Medical Association, who wanted to hurt people or do harm to people within organized medicine. Some of the AMA have an agenda. Most of them are good people, and they find it difficult to believe that anybody could be working within organized medicine to do harm. But if you wanted to do harm, where could you do the most harm? Working for the U.S. Public Health Service, or working certainly in a medical school, training doctors improperly, certainly working for the Centers for Disease Control. There you could do an awful lot of harm and damage. But most doctors are good people. It's just that they never hear the other side. And people, you know, there's very few people out there who can explain in a logical manner what's wrong with what they learned in medical school. One of the first things you learn in medical school is the old saying, first do no harm. And we learn it in Latin. Don't know Latin, but the phrase is escaping me. But the phrase, first do the first thing you want to learn. And the doctors want to do well, and they want to help, you know, prevent disease. But they have never been told the other side of the vaccine story, and this is why it's so important that we try to reach them. So the average doctor doesn't get a cutback, but I tell you that they will send the detailed people around to your office, usually a very attractive young man, a young woman, and they give you little gifts and little pens, or they may take you to dinner or lunch to tell you various things, and they're going to sell you on a product. Anytime a product that may actually be dangerous and do far more harm than good. So I think I was only can remember being approached one time with a business deal, and that was when they wanted to bring an MRI, a portable MRI machine, into our area, and because an MRI cost $1,000, and they said, you know, you can actually steer your patients to us, and then you'll get, a $500 for reading the MRI. Well, I couldn't read an MRI, and that was a kickback, and I just told them I wasn't interested. Obviously, it didn't fly in Santa Cruz because they never brought the machine in. But most doctors are ethical. There are a few, certainly a lot of the people who write these articles who actually have interest in a drug company are getting paid by the drug company, and they prostitute themselves. But the average doctor doesn't do that.
Okay. Dr. Stan?
Yeah, go ahead.
Where do they make these vaccines? I wouldn't put it past the pharmaceutical companies to make some of this stuff over in China, where it's less expensive.
I really can't tell you whether any of the vaccines are made in China or not. Maybe down the line they all will be. Heaven only knows. But it is really how they make them. I mean, they grow the virus, for instance, for polio in the tissue of a monkey, the kidney of a monkey. It grows very well there. But the problem is that when you take the polio vaccine, you get all the monkey viruses as well, and they grow other vaccines.
Yeah, I asked my doctor about that one time, and you know, he seemed to like kind of shrug it off, you know, that it was still safe and that. And
well, of course, because he's never really analyzed this. He's never heard the story of the simian virus 40 that was in the original polio vaccine, original Salk and polio vaccine, that has actually resulted in an epidemic of cancer. And the story is told in a book. It's a book that was actually authorized by the NIH. It's called The Health Century by Dr. Edward Shorter. The Health Century by Dr. Edward Shorter is one of the most revealing books because it was an entirely honest book in many respects. And it told about the cancer virus in the polio vaccine and all the efforts that they've made to conceal that from the American people, because if we do about it, we wouldn't trust them. Well, the trouble is, they don't deserve our trust. If they can't be honest, they don't deserve to be trusted. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. The cancer virus is called SV40, or simian virus 40. It's described in a book called The Virus in the Vaccine, or simply go up on the internet and Google in Dr. Carboni. Dr. Carboni, and read the tragic story. Hang on there, George. And this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, and of course that's certainly one of my favorite songs, always has been, always will be. I just hope that at some time in the not distant, too distant future, America will be, you know, entitled to God's blessing. It's going to be a very interesting time, because we're moving into a period of chaos and crisis. and without God's blessing, we will not survive as a free society. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and it's Open Lines on Friday, and we have Linda calling from Castroville. And if you're out there across America, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And with like your call, you call in on any subject. We can talk about finances. We can talk about the coming war with Iran and when it's going to be and how I've got a pretty good idea when it's going to be. But right now, let's talk to Linda from Castroville. Hi, Linda. How are you doing?
Pretty good. I'm kind of excited, Dr. Stan.
Well, why are you excited?
Because my mom's doctor,
right.
He's willing to read some studies about the mal effects of squalene and the swine flu, and I was wondering if you could give me any citations or any studies, and then I could direct him to them.
Well, do you have a computer?
I have access.
All right, fine. Well, there's all sorts of studies up there on the Internet about the dangers of squalene and, of course, the fact that it creates a hyperimmune condition. If you read my August newsletter, do you get the newsletter?
No, I don't.
All right, fine. Well, anyway, if you have a computer, just go to radioliberty.com and read my August newsletter. We've got a section in there on squalene, and we refer to an Australian vaccinologist, a woman who deals with vaccines, and gives, of course, and what she says about the dangers of squalene and all the autoimmune diseases it precipitates. And then there's a reference to a website, and you go to that website and pull that down. If you can't find it, why, give us a call off air and we'll go ahead and send you an article on the dangers of squalene. But of course, this certainly is a mineral oil and water, and it supercharges the immune system. But they've used it repeatedly in the past. In fact, there's a wonderful book called Vaccine A, and perhaps he would listen to my interviews with Gary Matsumoto. I interviewed Gary. He wrote the book Vaccine A, going to the background of the Gulf War syndrome. And, of course, squalene would appear to be the culprit that really was responsible for that. It was an experimental vaccine they gave to 150 to 200,000 of our troops. They didn't give it to all the troops, but they gave it to 150 or so thousand of our troops and the British troops. The French were smart enough to refuse to take those vaccines, and they didn't get any Gulf War syndrome. It was only the people who took those vaccines that got the Gulf War syndrome. And so they subsequently, with all these tragic people, there was the University of Tennessee. Researchers there actually did the blood test and found that the Gulf War veterans who had Gulf War syndrome all had squalene antibodies to squalene in their blood, whereas the Gulf War veterans who didn't take squalene didn't have antibodies. Now, why is this important? Well, we have squalene in our body. It's we create squalene. Squalene is part of our bodies. You'll find it in shark cartilage. But people inject shark cartilage, got squalene in it, but it's metabolized before it gets in the bloodstream. If you inject squalene and you inject a lot of adjuvants to create an immune response to the squalene and the products in the vaccine, then the body becomes sensitive to the squalene and begins to destroy itself. And that, remember when I began, I talked about how you had to be able to turn off the immune system. You have your active stage, you have your regulated stage of your immunological system, and then you have the turn-off, the shutdown stage, that's the control stage. Well, unfortunately, of course, you don't get the control stage, and you continue then having this hyperimmune response, and now you're beginning to devour the tissues of your own body. And that is the danger of the use of squalene, and why it has never been licensed in America. Now, it is licensed in Europe, and they're going to be put in the European vaccine, something called Fluad. heaven help the people over there in Europe.
Okay. You mentioned on Alex Jones' show an article from Lancet. What date?
I talked about an article specifically from the New England Journal of Medicine that I remember, and that was the studies on the H1N1 vaccine, and there were two studies. One was a study that dealt with their analysis of the H1N1 MF59 adjuvanted vaccine, the one will be used in Europe, and then the non-adjuvanted H1N1 vaccine will be used in the United States. And the interesting thing is that those studies are really totally invalid, because so many of the people in the study were already immune to the disease before they ever were vaccinated. And it would have totally invalidated in one group. 39% already had antibodies to the disease, and of course you got to get a good immune response. But the other thing is, of course, that both studies were funded by the vaccine companies, and so in one study, all of the scientists who did the study worked for the vaccine company, and the other, I think it was 3 or 4 out of 7, had interest in the drug companies. We're talking about billions of dollars. You cannot trust these people, to be honest, so we don't know if there is any validity to what they said.
Gosh.
And basically, if you want to get those, you have access to a computer. You simply go up in the computer and type in the search engine, New England Journal of Medicine, H1N1 vaccine study, September 10th, and then the New England Journal of Medicine, H1N1 MF59 vaccine study, September 10th, and you'll find the articles. Anything else I can do for you, Linda?
That's it, Dr. Stan. If I have any more questions, I'll call you.
All right, and you can always call our 800 number, okay?
Okay.
God bless.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. It's open lines. We'd like to know what you certainly would like to talk about, but right now we've got Maggie calling in from Texas. Maggie, what part of Texas are you calling from?
Austin.
Okay, hey, that's a real center of radicals. That's where Alex Jones comes from. No, it's good to have you with us. Alex is doing a great job.
He sure is. A lot going on here, for better and for worse.
Alex is going to be our guest on the, let's see, I think it's Thursday afternoon. It'll be 6 o'clock your time, so I hope you'll be listening. Alex will be with us. But go ahead, Maggie.
I don't know if you had heard about this, but last weekend they had a big festival, a music festival here, the Austin City Limits Music Festival, it's called, and they've had it for the past, I guess, 5 years. And previously the area where they held it was very dusty, but this past year they re-sodded, or I should say sodded, the entire area with turf that was fertilized with a mulch made of grass clippings and biosolids, that is sludge from the wastewater treatment, I guess, and they call this Dillo dirt. That's their term for it here. And it rained and rained and rained, and it got very muddy, and a lot of people got very muddy. And quite a few people complained about getting rashes and getting sick, but particularly getting rashes from coming in contact with this mud. What do you think of that scenario?
Well, it would depend on certainly how well they had detoxified this biomud, basically what they're talking about. I'm sure is human waste that they actually take and they can turn it into fertilizer. And if it's properly treated, and that's certainly so there's no bacteria there, I see nothing wrong with it. But it has to be properly treated, because you certainly wouldn't want to take a chance on picking up human viruses or other diseases, in the human fertilizer. This is why why certainly in the Orient and certainly in Japan and China and other places like that, they use human excrement as fertilizer. We ordinarily don't do that. We're more civilized. We use beef and cattle excrement as fertilizer, and it's an excellent fertilizer. But I wouldn't want to be getting a lot of it on me, that's for certain.
Okay, so in other words, you think that biosolids have a place, or so-called biosolids?
Well, I see nothing wrong with it as long as they're properly used, but certainly you don't want to put them on someplace and then you get a lot of rain and then people are going to get it all over themselves. And you have to be certain that they've been properly sterilized. Otherwise, why, of course, they could be potentially dangerous because, you see, basically the animals have all sorts of viruses and diseases, but God, when he created our immune system, made us immune to those. And we can't get those diseases unless, of course, somebody injects them into us in the process of vaccination. And that is extremely dangerous. And Sydney, it's like the avian flu virus. It's a deadly virus. It's killed millions and millions and millions of birds. But it doesn't kill human beings because we have immunity to it. Unfortunately, recently Baxter over in Europe put in a seasonal flu vaccine. It was going to be injected to millions of people. The Czechoslovakians checked it ahead of time, and they injected it into ferrets because ferrets act very similar to the way human beings would if they got a deadly disease, and all the ferrets died. So then the Czechoslovakians checked the Baxter a seasonal flu vaccine. What do you think they found? They found the deadly avian flu virus. In other words, a live virus for avian flu that can certainly, and had they not checked it, they would have killed millions of people. So, because you see, you're not going to get it from the birds, but if they inject it into you, why, it can really be deadly. And that story has been totally covered up here. And when Baxter was asked how that could have happened, they said, "Oh, shucks. We have no, well, we had it there in the laboratory. We don't know how it got from the highly controlled level 4 laboratory there into the vaccine we were going to give to millions of people in Europe." That's one reason we really shouldn't be taking vaccines, because we can't trust the people who are giving them to us. We can't trust them to be honest, and we can't trust the people who make a drug or make a vaccine. Why? We're in real trouble. And remember, there is legislation that has been passed and enacted into law where no vaccine manufacturer can be held liable for anything that they do, even if it's with malice. And if vaccines are safe and effective, if they're safe, then why did the vaccine manufacturers insist on having that law and said, if you don't give us that law, we won't make any vaccines, and children are going to die, and you're responsible? And so the legislators gave in and passed the legislation, and then, of course, as part of the Patriot Act, of course, we're told that there's no danger in thimerosal, it's just as safe as can be. That's the mercury they add to the vaccines. But when they were going to pass the Patriot Act in the middle of the night, just before it went to the vote in Congress, Senator Dole inserted a clause there that said that Eli Lilly, that manufactures thimerosal and is not covered by the legislation that protects vaccine manufacturers, but is their thimerosal that's put in the vaccines, they inserted a clause that said Eli Lilly could never be sued for all the lives that they had destroyed from thimerosal. And it would have gotten through if it hadn't been that parents across America heard about it and raised such a ruckus that, they were forced to pull that out of the legislation. If these things are safe, then why do they want to get that legislation to protect themselves? Anything else, Maggie?
Yes, sir. If I may quickly plug my anti-fluoride website, I have a website called www.fluoridefreeaustin, one word, just as it sounds.
Fluoridefreeaustin.com or org?
Actually, it's at both, but .com is the main address, and it's got my blog there, and we are going to be posting educational materials and handouts and links it's very new, so it's still rather bare bones, but it's going to be quite good, and I hope powerful, and I hope helpful.
Well, I think that's wonderful, and Chris, this is just one more way that America is under attack today. You know, if you study, of course, what's happened to the male sperm count, not only in the United States but throughout the world, you'll find that the male sperm count has dropped 50%, but the public health officials say, aw, shucks, we have no idea what this is happening. Well, I'll tell you one reason. It's water fluoridation. And there are all sorts of studies in the journal Fluoride, and you go to PubMed, you can't even pull it down. Why? Because the information is being suppressed. But you can go to the journal Fluoride and then go through their archives. You'll find the scientific studies that show that they water fluoridation lowers the male sperm count. They know what they're doing. They're poisoning our people, and they're poisoning our children, and they're destroying their minds with water fluoridation, just like they're destroying their minds with the mercury in the vaccines and the aluminum in the vaccines, and they outlaw DDT so they can use deadly pesticides, and all of these things are having a profound impact on our children. Anything else, Maggie?
Just that you pretty much woke me up to fluoride. You and Alex Jones, but you in particular, and I want to thank you for that, and I hope you'll check out my website.
I certainly will. I appreciate that. One more time, the name of the website.
Okay. www.fluoridefreeaustin, that's fluoridefreeaustin.com.
And is there an effort to fluoridate the water there in Austin?
Oh, it's already fluoridated.
All right, fine.
Our efforts are to get it out, and
right.
I expect a long, hard fight, but I'm up to it, and so are some others.
All right, fine. Well, I wish you well. If we can ever do anything to help you, be sure to let me know. And I appreciate your words of encouragement. Sometimes we need that.
Thank you, Dr. Stan.
God bless, Maggie. Okay, fine. Well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. If you're out there across America, we've got time for maybe one more telephone call here. But you have to understand that we're under attack. Our children are under attack, and they're destroying their minds. Within the last week, they've announced that the incidence of autism has risen from 1 in 160 children, one child in 160, to one child in 100 in the United States is now autistic. Because of the predilection for boys, it's between 1 in 60 and 1 in 70 boys is autistic. Their lives are shattered. Their parents' lives are shattered. And, of course, down the line, taking care of these poor children who've been deprived of a childhood, of a normal life, is going to bankrupt our nation. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Let's go to Carol, who's calling from Spokane. Hi, Carol. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm doing fine.
You okay? Do you have a question or comment?
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your two-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
We know America is changing, but most of the changes that are taking place seem to be designed to take away our freedom. And what can you do to remedy the current situation? Well, you can become informed, and one of the best ways to become informed is to subscribe to Republic Magazine, because that magazine provides the information that's suppressed in most other news magazines. If you want to oppose the effort to establish a one-world government, if you want to preserve freedom here in the United States and throughout the world, I suggest you subscribe to Republic Magazine, and you can do that by calling 1-800-873-1620. That's 800-873-1620, or access their website at www.republicmagazine.com. That's republicmagazine.com. I suggest you get extra copies for your family and your friends.
Where are my car keys? What did I come in this room for? Where did I put that?
A common condition called age-related memory loss is robbing millions of people of their ability to remember and think clearly. And Alzheimer's and Parkinson's are occurring at younger ages, even early 20s and 30s. And there's much evidence that brain inflammation may be the cause. Brain inflammation may also cause depression and insomnia. But there's great news. Studies show by taking special, powerful nutrients, brain inflammation and its damaging effects may be greatly reduced. And that's why neurosurgeon Dr. Russell Blaylock created his brain repair formula to reduce brain inflammation and maintain a healthy brain. So, for a free book on brain health or information on Dr. Blaylock's special brain repair formula, call 1-800-SPECIAL or visit 1-800-SPECIAL.
But a great deal of the MS is related to autoimmune disease. It's stimulated by vaccination or by other things that stimulate the immune system.
Well, it was, she would have contracted it in the late 40s.
Right. Well, of course, the vaccines were there in the late 40s. It's impossible to second guess it at this stage, but I mean, we're seeing more and more autoimmune disease, and then a group of nurses who were forced to take the hepatitis B vaccine, and why, of course, they found that MS is three times as common in them than the general population, so they know what they're doing. They just want us to find out, and you've got to help us get the word out, okay?
Oh, I appreciate your program, and I love listening to you.
God bless. Bye-bye. Okay, that was Carol from Spokane, and I always enjoy the open lines. Well, anyway, this is the time I need to remind our listeners that Radio Liberty is primarily listener-supported, and if you're in a position to help, we'd love to hear from you. Then, of course, to remind our listeners all across America and here in California that we are having our all-day conference. It's going to be on the 25th of October at the Aptos Seascape Golf Course here on the North Shore of Monterey Bay. And if you're coming, you're going to need a reservation, and certainly because we're serving lunch, but we need to know how many are going to be there. So this is the next week is the going to be about the last week we'll be taking reservations. Give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. If you want a weapon to help in this battle, why, let me suggest a case of Brotherhood of Darkness. It's an excellent means of getting the information out. The book ordinarily markets at $12.95 a copy, and you can get 60 copies at a little over $2 a copy, $149.95 plus shipping for 60 copies of the book, and you can sell them for full price. You can give them away. You can lend them. But get the information out so people will understand the true nature of the spiritual battle in which we're engaged. And ladies and gentlemen, people are coming to understand. That's what's exciting. My good friend Tom Horn has reproduced the book as well and got it into a number of major ministries and are really moving large quantities of the book out. And some of my favorite ministries that I would never be able to have time to reach are carrying the book, and certainly I'm encouraged that it is getting the coverage. But it's not because I wrote the book. but because the message is important. So if you'd like to get a case of the books, and certainly you won't be charged for them at all until we are ready to do the printing. But, of course, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. If you want to understand the swine flu vaccine scam, we have a four-tape set. If you want to understand vaccination, these are four CD sets. The four CD set, Vaccine Update 2009, an excellent DVD, Dr. Ayoub, Mercury Vaccine and the Global Vaccine Program, Dr. Blaylock, Vaccines and Brain Development, that's Vaccine and Brain Development. And then, of course, we do hope that many of you will want to get the books by Neil Miller, certainly Are Vaccines Safe and Effective, and his Vaccine Safety Manual, recurring Dr. Sherry Tenpenny's excellent book on vaccination, and I believe we have some of her DVDs as well. So give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. To understand what's going on from a spiritual point of view, the Secret Mystery series that really, of course, overshadows anything Dan Brown will ever write, because this is really true. The history of America, the occult history of our nation, and then please pray for America. Pray for revival, but pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that will determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you of the views that are expressed here and not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and, well, for the next hour, they're going to be the views of our good friend William Greig, former senior editor of the New American Magazine, and now, of course, writing blogs and has his own radio program, and of course he has certainly written a number of books. Liberty and Eclipse is the last one, and hopefully why when William appears as one of our guests on October 25th, he's going to have some copies of his book with him. We're hoping he'll have some there and you'll be able to get the book. And anyway, William's going to be one of our featured guests at the annual Radio Liberty Conference on the 25th of October, and we're looking forward to seeing him. Hi, how are you tonight, William?
Dr. Stan, I'm doing great. It's always a blessing to be with you.
Well, are you going to bring us up to date on what's really going up there in Hardin, Montana?
I can. As a matter of fact, I spent a few days in Montana, and we think here. Actually, it was about 2 days in Montana, most of the time in Hardin, which is a town of about 3,500 people, and it's right next to the Crow Indian Reservation. When I originally looked at Yahoo Maps to try to figure out the best route to get there from Payette, Idaho, which is on the western border of Idaho about a week and a half ago. Yahoo Maps had mistakenly put Hardin within the boundaries of the Crow Reservation, but it's actually just outside. It abuts the Crow Reservation. It's part of Bighorn County, which includes that reservation, about 35, 40 miles, roughly east, due east of Billings. And about 2 weeks ago, the Internet was lit up with these anguished and terrified reports about a private mercenary force composed of international, just to say foreign personnel, calling itself the American Police Force, which had made a dramatic entrance to Hardin about 2 weeks ago this past Thursday, in a convoy of black SUVs with decals announcing that they were the new police force for this town. There had never been a police force for Hardin. Actually, there hadn't been for at least the last several decades, since 1976. The sheriff's department there, which is headquartered in Hardin, that's the county seat of Bighorn County, had been providing law enforcement coverage for that town in addition to the rest of the county. And so there were a number of residents who were astounded when these people showed up and announced that they were going to be taking over the Two Rivers Detention Facility, which is a large jail. It's actually a prison, a small prison rather than a large jail. It's certainly not a county jail of any description that I've ever seen. It's easily the size of most jail or rather prison facilities I have seen in a number of states, Wisconsin, Nevada, Idaho, Oregon. They all have prison facilities that are about this size. It has 464 beds, and they have situated this on a very large tract of land that is perfectly suitable for expanding both the detention center and for building other facilities. And APF, the American Police Force, so-called, said that they were going to be leasing the jail for $2.6 million a year for about 10 years, and that they were going to be spending additional tens of millions of dollars to develop new facilities on that same tract of land, including an international training center that would be used to train both military and police officials from the United States and elsewhere. And so there are a lot of people who are alarmed over this turn of events. The Two Rivers Jail has been a source of some controversy since 2004.
Well, wait a minute. I think we're getting a little static here. We have a little trouble on this line. You hang up. I'm going to have our call screener call you right back. Okay.
All right.
Fine. I'm going to ask our call screener to go ahead and simply hook him up on line one. See if we can get away from having any problems there. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and certainly a Friday evening. You can tell it's Friday evening because William Grigg is here, and we always enjoy having William, and certainly he's going to bring us up to date on this amazing story of Hardin, Montana. And, of course, these stories got all over the Internet, and they sound, well, sometimes they're exaggerated, sometimes they're frank disinformation. You must understand that there is a conscious, organized effort of the invisible government, and there is an invisible government that really controls our reality, to frighten us to death, to give us all sorts of information, to keep idle minds busy. And so, with that as a background, let's go to William and just see what we can find. Go ahead, William.
Yeah, I was talking about the fact that since 2004, when this Two Rivers Regional Detention Facility was proposed by the city of Hardin, there's been a lot of controversy over it because they managed to raise $27 million by taking out bonds with the U.S. Bank to build this facility on the assumption that if they build it, that the prisoners would come. If you build it, they will come. And that apparently the state of Montana or that the Corrections Corporation of America or somebody else would be sending prisoners their way and then leasing the facility at a certain rate per capita of the prison population to bring in money into this economically depressed little town in Montana. And so the city government created this Two Rivers Authority. It's a quasi-private entity that's an economic development organization. And they were able to issue bonds, and the bonds are held by the U.S. Bank as the trustee. And they built the jail, but nobody was able to arrange for prisoners to be housed therein. They ended up having a dispute with the governor of Montana, the Governor Schweiker, and the attorney general of Montana seemed to have issued a ruling that suggested that it wasn't appropriate for the county to maintain a jail that would be involved in housing prisoners that would be held by the state of Montana. So they had this jail sitting there since 2007. It's actually a prison facility, not a jail. 464 empty beds, all kinds of amenities and facilities that were sitting there resting for 2 years. When in March of this past year, the city of Hardin, out of desperation, suggested that if Guantanamo Bay was going to be shut down, if the detention center down there for suspected terrorists was going to be vacated, that Hardin would take on that population. And so that happened in March, and it apparently attracted the attention of the people behind this group calling itself the American Police Force. Because that
hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment with Mr. William Grigg. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and William was just saying that, Chris, it was in March of this year that this little city, you know, they're trying to get jobs. They put the prison in with the idea that here would be a place where people could work and make money. This is a depressed area, the county seat, but they really don't have any source of income, so they put in a jail with the idea that if we build it, they will come. Well, they didn't come. And so in March they put the word out that, if they close down Guantanamo, why of course, the Hardin jail, the prison, this private prison, built with borrowed money, but they would then actually take the prisoners from Guantanamo. Well, nobody seemed to be too interested in that, but somebody obviously was interested in this concept. And then, of course, suddenly appears an organization known as the American Police Force, talking about putting up money to rent the prison facilities so that they can actually begin to house prisoners there. Pick up the story.
This company was incorporated in Santa Ana, California in March of this year, and then they immediately made an overture toward Hardin, suggesting that they would be interested in leasing the prison and running it and staffing it with their own personnel. And these negotiations took place outside of public scrutiny, and that's one of the big elements of the story that I think is very important. You had an increasingly desperate municipal government in Hardin. Their bonds were in default. They had no way of raising money in order to make good on the debts that they had incurred to build this facility. The state government of Montana was flatly opposed to the existence of the jail and using it for the purpose of housing prisoners. Suddenly, this offer is tendered to them by this mysterious group in California that created a website claiming that they were involved in various kinds of security and law enforcement operations, both public and private, in all 50 states and in many countries across the world. They claimed that they were involved through their contractors in guarding military convoys in Iraq and Afghanistan. They made these extravagant claims about providing security for everything from cruise ships to international airline travel, and they claimed that they could, at a moment's notice, call upon the talents of hundreds of battle-hardened, highly skilled professionals from around the world.
But, of course, there really wasn't any truth in any of this, was there?
No, not at all. When the ATF official showed up at the end of September, there were two of them driving black SUVs, and I can't remember who was driving the third SUV. There was a convoy, apparently, of three SUVs with these magnetic decals announcing that they were the new City of Hardin Police Force.
All right, because now the additional story was there were 10. Now we're down to three SUVs, so go ahead.
Yeah, the additional story, there are 12. 12, then 10, and now 3. And then when I talked to the undersheriff, he actually said that there were only two, but somehow a third SUV ended up in the picture because that SUV is now in the, at least momentarily, in the possession of Becky Shea, who's the official spokeswoman for the ATF in Montana. The other two went back to California. But when they showed up on that Thursday, they were wearing what appeared to be police regalia, and there were these two. One of them was a man who identified himself as a Captain Michael Hilton. The other called himself Sergeant Martin, and they supposedly represented this huge organization. Well, it turns out Captain Michael Hilton really puzzled everybody because he had a very thick Slavic accent that was initially taken for Russian. And that, I think, explains a lot of the rumors that proliferated to the effect that there were Russian nationals or other people from that part of the world, either the former Soviet Union or the Balkans or the Baltics, who were patrolling the streets of Hardin That's not true. He didn't do any patrolling. He did show up in a military, or in a quasi-paramilitary type uniform. He was photographed in the utilities building. There are two buildings that are used for municipal government in Hardin. They're across the street from each other. One is the city hall, and the other is the utilities building. The utilities building is where people go to pay their water bills and such. He was photographed in the doorway of that building. He was also photographed in civilian garb in front of the entrance to the Two Rivers Regional Detention Center, the prison. But it turns out that this guy is a Serbian, of Serbian extraction from Montenegro, which is a province of the former Yugoslavia, and he's a veteran con man. He's been convicted and sent to prison for various kinds of fraud. He is the subject of, I believe, about a dozen civil lawsuits for defrauding people in various elaborate schemes to make money. In one instance, he was supposedly going to be building a rest home. In another instance, he was involved in a scheme involving a silver statue in Provo. He's got a very long and very colorful career as a con man. He has no military experience, nor has he got any law enforcement experience. He apparently applied the honorific captain to himself, which means that he's entitled to call himself a captain, as Colonel Sanders was entitled to call himself a colonel. There's just nothing about this guy that is legitimate in any way. But somebody put up at least enough money to provide for his travel and to make an initial payment to buy these SUVs. And apparently when they returned to California, there was a payment, a financing payment that was missing. And so apparently they're going to have to return those SUVs. And I'd be willing to bet that the third SUV in the possession of the spokeswoman, Becky Shea, is not long from repossession itself. But they spoke a really good game, and they made all kinds of promises to the effect that they were going to be spending millions of dollars in Hardin and building this training facility. And also, this is the part of the story that really is interesting. The contract that they signed with the city of Hardin provided for them to become the police force of that town. So that much is true. APF was intended to become the police force of Hardin, Montana, and this contract was signed with the municipal government at a time when the municipal government thought they were dealing with a legitimate, albeit very shadowy and, in my opinion, disreputable, mercenary firm akin to the Blackwater, which now calls itself G, or the Military Professional Resources Incorporated, or Wackenhut, or some other quasi-private, quasi-government entity that's involved either in prison management, law enforcement, or mercenary work. They were willing to sign that deal with the group about which they knew practically nothing except for what was available on this bogus website that they had put up. And this was in the contract. They were supposed to be providing security for the jail with the option of becoming the regular law enforcement body of the city of Hardin. Now, that negotiation was going on at the same time that the years-long process of what was called deconsolidation was reaching a point of completion. Deconsolidation simply meant that the Sheriff's Department, which had provided law enforcement coverage under contract to Hardin since 1976, was going to cease that arrangement. They were no longer going to be providing direct law enforcement services to Hardin because Hardin wasn't paying enough to maintain that type of presence in a very large, thinly populated, but geographically very spacious county. And so there was going to be a vacuum created, and there was going to have to be created, according to the people who were running the city, some kind of a police force in order to provide law enforcement coverage for Hardin. So this worked out perfectly in terms of creating the impression in people's minds that these people who just arrived in these tricked-out SUVs wearing these uniforms were going to be their new police force. So once again, there's some justification behind at least some of the rumors. The rumors, of course, grew well beyond anything that would be sustainable by the facts. We were reading that there was a large gate being erected at the outskirts of the city. Hardin would be very difficult to wall off. It is a very open community on very flat terrain. I spent hours, literally hours, walking every single street and back alley in Hardin looking for any evidence that that might be the case. I didn't see any, nor did I see any evidence that there were commandos stopping people on the street asking for identification, which is something else that I had read. When I was in Hardin on that Friday and Saturday, I did everything I could within, you know, the compass of the time allotted to me to try to track down civil officials. I was there in the company of a good friend of mine by the name of Scott Watson, who very helpfully, very generously volunteered to get me there and to help me doing all this legwork. And we found that the city government had pretty much disappeared. We were told that they were in meetings, but City Hall was locked down tight at 3 o'clock in the afternoon on a Friday. We did manage to interview the undersheriff for Bighorn County, who's a very capable young man. I think he's probably in his early 30s, by the name of Rondell Davis. He's an Air Force veteran. Very low-key, a very light touch. He's exactly what you'd want to see in the position of sheriff or undersheriff. The undersheriff actually does the daily work of law enforcement. The sheriff is the elected official. The sheriff actually is an American Indian by the name of Edward Longhair, but Mr. Davis is the one who does most of the actual law enforcement work. When we met him, he wasn't even wearing a badge. He was wearing a polo shirt with the badge insignia stenciled on it. He wasn't wearing a sidearm, and he sat down with us, and for half an hour, he very candidly told us what was going on in his county. And he's somebody who pointed out that Hardin doesn't have a law enforcement problem. It doesn't have a crime problem to speak of. The biggest challenge they had, really, was dealing with the occasional person to get drunken on the street and would have to be removed from the street for his own protection. But that's the sort of thing that occupied most of their time. As a matter of fact, this is about a week ago. It was exactly a week ago we spoke with him. He said that evening he was going to have one deputy basically patrolling the entire county, and he was there until late that night backing him up in case there were a couple of emergencies that required immediate assistance by the sheriff's office. And so when this APF group walked in and said, well, we're going to be your new police department, and we're going to be building a homeless shelter, and we're going to be building a drug rehabilitation facility, and we're going to be doing all these expensive and elaborate things, that should have been a tip-off to the people who are running the city government there that they were dealing with con artists, because they should have known that the county didn't require that kind of attention. But I think, once again, it's the idea is that they were going to be getting a lot of money from somebody, and they didn't really inquire into the background of this guy and his supposed organization. But they were willing to sign this contract that would have turned over their city to this paramilitary organization of dubious provenance that would now become their city police. That much of this is perfectly horrifying.
Well, it sounds like somebody really was put on, but certainly had these people put up any money? Did they have any money to put up? Are they a front from somebody else? Where do we stand, and where does it go from here? Do we know? Certainly we've heard quite a bit about this gentleman. As you pointed out, he's been indicted. Certainly he's got all sorts of lawsuits against him. He's been exploiting people for a long period of time. We'll be back in just a moment with William Griggs, the explorer of the story of the mysterious group that took over Hardin. Go right ahead, William.
To answer the first question, somebody had to put up...
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Most Americans are iodine deficient today because they stopped adding iodine to our milk and to our flour, and only about half of the salt that's consumed in the United States today contains iodine. So Radio Liberty has produced a four-tape or a four-CD set that discusses the health benefits of iodine. We also offer iodorol. It contains 12.5 milligrams of iodine per tablet. And we also offer potassium iodide tablets that'll protect your thyroid gland in case there's a nuclear attack. So if you'd like to order these products or obtain additional information, why don't you call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Or go to our website at radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com. Once again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927.
you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Verkey water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Verkey water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
Husband. Anyway, everything was done behind the scenes. People were making a great deal. You know, thought they were going to make a great deal of money, and then when it suddenly began to come out that this was a scam, now everybody's running for cover. There was a woman who worked for the paper in Billings, a reporter doing a good job, took a job working for the American Police Force as their spokeswoman, and she, of course, seems to had almost a breakdown as a result of the pressure she was under defending, of course, this group, which is really quite indefensible, headed by a man who apparently has run con game after con game after con game. But how are they going to make out on this? I don't understand.
That's the part of it I don't understand either, Dr. Stan, because they were promising to give all these things. But where the cash flow that would go back into the coffers of the con men was to come from, I don't quite understand, unless, and this is the part of the story that I'm still trying to unravel, and it has to do with the question of who the parent company would be, unless they were fronting for somebody who wanted to take possession of that jail for reasons other than the con. That's the part of it that I don't understand. I think that if Michael Hilton had been just a little bit more disciplined and subtle in the way he pursued this, if he was able to work it out to where the city of Hardin was willing to consummate the deal and give them possession of the jail, that at that point the parent company might have revealed itself. And there are enough people involved in this shadowy world that's neither fish nor fowl of military and law enforcement, homeland security contracting. There's enough money sort of sluicing around in that world that chances are he probably hooked up with somebody who had real connections. And that's the part of the story that unless somehow we can pry loose a key revelation through one of the civil actions that's been filed, or if the Attorney General of Montana, who's now investigating this, manages to compel a discovery of some key document, chances are we're not going to find out who the parent company is. But there was enough going on here to justify a lot of the initial concern on the part of if you will, the patriot element of the national community in which these rumors were circulating. I mean, people were alarmed over the prospect that you'd had this group that was akin to the Ravenwood mercenary outfit in the late and very lamented television show Jericho, or there were like Blackwater or any one of a half a dozen other groups that we could think of. Executive Outcomes from South Africa, even Barlow's group, did this kind of thing in South Africa where they were completely mercenary. They would fight for either side and make the best deal they could. And Military Professional Resources Incorporated was put together in Virginia back in the early 1990s, and they happened to run, this is the part of the story that I find fascinating, they ran operations in the former Yugoslavia. They were in charge of training, equipping, and helping to guide the battlefield efforts of the Croatian army in 1994 and 1995. And as a matter of fact, in 1995, they led an offensive against the Serbs of Croatia in a region called Krajina, which is on the seacoast. They drove tens of thousands of Serbs out of their homes, and they wiped out hundreds or thousands of people working in tandem with the bombing missions run by NATO. And that was a mercenary outfit, sort of like what the APF described itself to be. It might be that that's where he got the idea, that this Michael Hilton from Montenegro might have got that idea from what happened in the Balkans in the early 1990s. And there were proprietary mercenary groups that were involved in Kosovo as well. And somewhere in this whole yeasty ferment of corruption, of federally embedded corruption, there are enough people with ambitions of the sort and political connections of the sort that would be suitable to carry out some kind of an operation to take over a very large empty jail facility and then find ways of filling it with people. And there were other things that were going on there that justified at least some of the rumors. For instance, I mentioned before that the contract that was signed with the Two Rivers Authority between APF and the Two Rivers Authority actually called for the American police force, so-called, to become the actual police force of Hardin. And there were other elements of the rumors that were appropriate as well. And one of them had to do with the idea that they were going to be bringing in foreign troops into Hardin to act as a police force. I don't know whether they were going to act as a police force, but they were planning on bringing in foreign troops, at least according to the announcements they had made when they arrived a couple of weeks ago. So there is certainly some substantial stuff behind some of these rumors.
Well, of course, it seems a little incongruous that they would be bringing foreign troops in to act as a police force for a city of 3,500 people. I mean, there's something is seriously wrong. We'll be back in just a moment with William Grigg.
Right.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and of course our guest is William Grigg, and we're talking about the mystery of Hardin. So what is the next step, William?
Well, the next step, as far as I'm concerned, is to find some way to get the right leverage to pry out the information as to the people behind Captain Michael Hilton.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back in just a moment here. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and our guest, of course, is William Grigg, and, of course, he has been giving us the background of this story on the city of Hardin there in the east of Billings, Montana. It's been all over the Internet, but William went there, talked to the people, and the 12 SUVs became 3 SUVs and maybe 2 SUVs, and the paramilitary unit that moved in seemed to consist of 2 people, but there's a lot of unanswered questions as to who might be behind this, how they were going to make any money on this situation, and, of course, they made a lot of promises to a lot of people. I've dealt with psychopaths. They love to lie. They love to manipulate people, but they've gone to an awful lot of trouble when it doesn't look like they're going to have any real advantage to themselves. So we're going to have to depend upon William to ferret out this story, and he's done a yeoman's job. In fact, his story is being picked up by people all across America. In fact, Joel Skousen dealt with this morning using William's information as a foundation. Now, before we go on, William, I want you to get out your website, tell people how they can listen to your programs, and get in touch with your ministry, and then we'll wrap up Hardin here. But
all right, I appreciate that. My blog, Pro Libertate, can be found at freedominourtime.blogspot.com. Freedom in Our Time is one compound word. freedominourtime.blogspot.com. Or go to willgrigg.com and look at the right-hand side of the screen where there's a list of external links, and Pro Libertate is the first link. I try to update it between 3 and 5 times a week because of the way that my schedule's worked out over the last couple of months, and the unusually crowded couple of months. That's not been the production schedule I've been able to maintain, but that is what I aspire to do, 3 to 5 times a week, usually an essay of 1,000 to 2,000 words. The Hardin piece was written as a result of the trip that I made to Hardin. It's about 1,200 words long, and really there's more that I have to say on the issue, but I'm still collating information and trying to track down some very important pieces of the story. I don't know when those are going to materialize, but as soon as they do, I promise I'll give another update. And the other thing that I'm planning to do, Dr. Stan, is to put together a video blog, or a vlog, to use the accepted new term for it, that I will be posting on YouTube that will deal with this issue in some depth and have video footage and photographs and other information in it. That'll be available through the Pro Libertate blog as soon as it's ready. My radio program is also called Pro Libertate. It is broadcast on the Radio Liberty News Network. Forgive me, Free Liberty Radio News Network. I end up getting sort of confused because there's Radio Liberty and Liberty News Radio. I get them sort of confused sometimes because the two programs are both. LibertyNewsRadio.com, LNR, LibertyNewsRadio.com, is the host of Pro Libertate, and I'm on every weeknight from 6 o'clock to 7 o'clock Mountain Time, which is 5 to 6 o'clock Pacific, or 7 o'clock to 8 o'clock Central, at LibertyNewsRadio.com. It's also available over terrestrial radio in some stations nationwide. I believe there are stations in California that do carry it, as well as some in Texas and some in Oregon and elsewhere. And the programs on Liberty News Radio are archived, so people can go in and listen to podcasts of my programs and the programs of the other hosts. I did a live program from Hardin a week ago, and this is something that I thought was very worthwhile because I was actually on scene and I'd spoken with a number of people there in the community, and it was interesting to get the feedback because these people had found themselves unwittingly and unwillingly in the global spotlight on account of the fact that the blogosphere was lit up with concern over what was going on in Hardin. And I spoke to people in several businesses, including the local weekly newspaper, which is very well produced, by the way. The Bighorn County News is one of the better weekly newspapers I've run into. It's a small small town and a thinly populated county, and so they have a weekly newspaper. They have a very small staff and a very young editor, but they do a pretty good job, and they've done a very good job in covering this story. And with one exception, their staff has been very professional in dealing with it. Maybe I'll talk about the exception here in a second. But a lot of people were concerned about two things. First of all, they were concerned that they were being made to look foolish by virtue of what their city government had done. That, I thought, was a legitimate concern because the city government in Hardin has been quite foolish. And their second concern was the possibility that some of the rumors might be true. I remember hearing a waitress tell us that, well, she overheard a conversation that I was having with my friend Scott Watson about the things that were going on. And her first reaction was to say, well, we're a worldwide joke, aren't we? And I said, that's not true. This is a very nice town full of very nice people who seem conscientious and sober. I think it's your city government that's a joke. And the second thing I said was that it seems to me that the best thing you could do, obviously, is to try to recall your city government. But the second thing that she said to me was that, yeah, the instant that paramilitary people show up here, I'm leaving. And that was a very common sentiment. I mean, these people, had these rumors been true, were not going to sit supinely by and let this paramilitary force come in and take over the town. This is Montana, for heaven's sake. This is a state where, whatever you think of the state government, at the very least, they're trying to reclaim some element of the sovereign powers guaranteed to them by the Constitution with respect to the protection of the right to keep and bear arms. They're actually challenging the federal government, the federal ATF, on that issue. That was in the headlines as we traveled to Montana a week ago. Most of the people in and around Hardin quite sensibly own firearms and know how to use them. That's one of the reasons why crime is not a problem in Hardin to speak of. And so you had a situation here where there was this obvious gap between the people and the government ruling them, in that the people seem to be more sensible than the government. That usually seems to be the case. But just very quickly, I want to talk about a few of the rumors once again and show what there is just a... There was... At the core of every rumor, at least a kernel of truth that was being blown out of proportion and exaggerated. One of the things that I mentioned just before the break, Dr. Stan, was the idea that the APF was going to bring or had brought foreign troops into Hardin. And the source of that rumor, once again, was this person calling himself Captain Hilton. At a press conference that he gave, when he arrived in grand style in Hardin, he said the following: APF is going to be bringing in high-level military and police to train. 25% from America and 75% international top military leaders from around the world. That was something that he said on the record when he was in the presence of the supposed cream of the crop of Hardin's municipal leadership. And so he said it in all apparent sobriety, and it was taken at face value by people, and that naturally became a matter of some concern. It was blown out of proportion, but at least there was, once again, something at the core of that rumor that represented a fact. The fact was that he had said that. Now, of course, that's not what they were going to do, but at the time he said that, people, because he was in the presence of their mayor and the municipal government, the city council, the Two Rivers Authority, they assumed that he was speaking the truth. Another rumor that was circulating was that Hardin residents would be or were being rounded up and then compelled to undergo involuntary flu vaccinations. And that, of course, sort of is an example of cross-pollination among various different kinds of rumors. There is, of course, a push in several states, such as Massachusetts, to compel people to take this dreadful flu shot. There's a test case going on in Florida. There's this horrible law in Massachusetts that is flatly totalitarian. There are other places in the country where it has been made clear that if necessary, if the so-called pandemic materializes, that the military, working with the police, would have the supposed authority to go and enforce a quarantine or to compel people to get flu vaccinations. In this case, I think what happened is that Hilton managed to spur this speculation by saying on the record that the APF was going to dispatch security to patrol Hardin streets. And once again, that's something that was provided for in the contract that they signed with the city government. And that he offered free health care to city residents out of the jail clinic. Now, the clinic in the jail, of course, was set up for people who were being interned therein, but the fact that he had talked about people being brought to the jail in order to undergo some kind of health care, coupled with the notion that the APF was going to be patrolling streets, is probably what metastasized into this rumor that there were these paramilitary commandos on the streets checking people's IDs and trying to find out if they'd had the flu vaccination. Now, these are things that could happen. Don't get the impression that I'm dismissing outright the idea that at some point in some places in this country, under the right set of circumstances, the type of things that were described as going on supposedly in Hardin could happen. That could happen. As a matter of fact, there's plenty of information available about the various programs for military involvement in enforcing quarantines in the context of a pandemic. They're all put out by the Pentagon. I've written about this. I wrote about this months ago. There are other people who have written about it in much greater depth than I have. I'm not saying that this is something that couldn't happen. What I'm saying is that it was not happening in Hardin, and that there was no way that it could have happened in Hardin because you were dealing here with a fraud. You're dealing with a con man. But more importantly, I think we were dealing with what in intelligence speak is called a dangle. Every once in a while, if you're interested in finding out what the target of your intelligence operations is up to, or learning the weaknesses of the targeted entity, then you'll dangle something in front of that person or that country or that community, and you'll see what happens by way of trying to assess how best to manipulate people. What I'm thinking this might have been, given that this is the sort of thing that just really wouldn't occur to somebody as a profitable con man scheme, because there's just no way they can make money off it immediately. And the first thing that a con man needs is money up front from his mark. You know, you always want to get something up front from your mark so that if you have to go, and these people, of course, are ready to go at a moment's notice, that at least you've got something out of the con. You have to develop confidence in the person. That's where the word confidence game comes from, or the term confidence game. But as part of the confidence game, you want to get that person invested in what you're selling, and then keep that person giving you money. I mean, if you're familiar with the Nigerian email scam, that's the way it works. I need this money, and you need to keep sending money until such time as the victim tires of it and goes away, but at least you've made something off of it if you're a con man. This isn't how this worked. They were talking about putting money into the economy of Hardin. They were talking about giving something of value to the community of Hardin, which means that there was something else they were after here. And it really is counterintuitive. If all this was a con operation by this veteran con man, it didn't make any sense at all. So we need to find out who was behind this guy, and I'm pulling on every thread I can find. There aren't many of them, quite frankly, but they do lead into this murky, tenebrous underworld, this quasi-official underworld of proprietaries and contractors. And I made calls to people who work in that business. I mean, starting with Blackwater, I called them up. They now refer to as ZXE. And they assured me, how good the assurance is, I don't know, that they had never heard of the American Police Force before they started getting press inquiries from Montana, from, among other people, Becky Shea, when she was still a reporter, asking whether or not this was, in some sense, an appendage of Blackwater, or Z as it's now referred to. And there are other proprietaries who were involved in this type of activity, both domestically and internationally, and I'm trying to find out what I can about them. But this is a very disturbing element of what's going on here. In New Orleans, after Hurricane Katrina, Blackwater did show up, deputized by the state government and working in tandem with the National Guard to enforce martial law in the communities affected by Hurricane Katrina. And they weren't alone. There were half a dozen other mercenary outfits, some of them foreign in nature, that were operating. Many of them had been hired by wealthy people to provide for private security. I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing. It can be troublesome if you have people who use them as a plundering army. Obviously, that's a problem. That's why, incidentally, most states, including Montana, have provisions in their state constitution forbidding the importation of mercenary armies. That's one of the first things that Rondell Davis, the undersheriff of Bighorn County, pointed out, was that if these people who called themselves the American Police Force were intending to exercise the authority of law enforcement officers in Hardin, they were violating both the Montana State Code and the Montana Constitution, because if they had come up under arms for the purpose of patrolling the streets, they violated the provision of the Montana Constitution against importation of armed mercenaries. And if they were up there posing as the police department of Hardin, they were violating the statutes against impersonating peace officers. So that's the sort of thing that that most states would not permit, but under the right set of circumstances, once again, if you have a natural disaster of the magnitude of a Hurricane Katrina or a flu epidemic that is referred to as a pandemic and that thereby triggering all kinds of emergency powers, if you have a wide-scale terrorist attack or terrorist attacks, there are proprietaries in this country that are equipped and ready to move in to supplement the efforts of this group that you refer to as the invisible government to administer towns and cities across the country. And I can't help but think that somebody behind the scenes wanted to run this as a test case and harden. You had a tiny, very vulnerable, economically depressed town that was being mismanaged by a corrupt and stupid city government, and it seemed to me that if somebody wanted to find out how far he could push the scenario of moving in this Ravenwood or Blackwater-style paramilitary force, this would have been a nearly ideal set of circumstances. And so that's the direction that I'm going to be going and the angle of the story I'm going to be pursuing for the next, week or several weeks, however long it takes. It's not something that's going to come to the surface very easily because the people behind the scenes have been very careful to protect themselves. One of my sources said that there were a couple of very wealthy people in California who are sort of connected at the hips with the more familiar players in the military homeland security realm who put the money behind Hardin and who were trying to use this as a way of taking control of that jail and then operating it in the interests of trying to expand the infrastructure of corporate incarceration in the country. And that's a big story, too. There are plenty of other communities in this country. In every state, you can find them, where the major industry has been shipped overseas or has been shut down by environmental regulation. And in comes somebody who says, hey, you know what? We don't have factories in this town anymore, but let's build a prison, because there's always going to be work for people who are in the business of incarceration. And it really tells you everything you need to know about the state of our economy and the direction of our country, quite frankly, that we don't have factories anymore, but we do build prisons.
Yeah, it's a rather frightening thing to contemplate, and I fear that we're going to see more and more of that as we move into a period of chaos and crisis, the period of chaos and crisis that lies ahead. So certainly our guest this evening has been Mr. William Grigg. William, would you like to get out your website one more time before we...
I sure would. The blog is freedominourtime.blogspot.com. That's the Pro Libertate blog. And then my Pro Libertate radio program is available through the Liberty News Radio Network at libertynewsradio.com from 5 o'clock to 6 o'clock Pacific Time or 7 o'clock to 8 o'clock Central Time every weekday.
All right, fine. Well, it's certainly recommended to you. I'm sure William is doing a great job, as he always does. So, of course, for all those out there, William Grigg will be one of our featured speakers at the annual Radio Liberty Conference, which will be held right here in the North Shore, Monterey Bay, on the 25th of October. And if you haven't got your reservations yet, shame on you. We'll be right back.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look. I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
We know America is changing, but most of the changes that are taking place seem to be designed to take away our freedom. And what can you do to remedy the current situation? Well, you can become informed, and one of the best ways to become informed is to subscribe to Republic Magazine, because that magazine provides the information that's suppressed in most other news magazines. If you want to oppose the effort to establish a one-world government, if you want to preserve freedom here in the United States and throughout the world, I suggest you subscribe to Republic Magazine, and you can do that by calling 1-800-873-1620. That's 800-873-1620, or access their website at www.republicmagazine.com. That's republicmagazine.com. I suggest you get extra copies for your family and your friends.
Where are my car keys? What did I come in this room for? Where did I put that?
A common condition called age-related memory loss is robbing millions of people of their ability to remember and think clearly. And Alzheimer's and Parkinson's are occurring at younger ages, even early 20s and 30s. And there's much evidence that brain inflammation may be the cause. Brain inflammation may also cause depression and insomnia. But there's great news. Studies show by taking special, powerful nutrients, brain inflammation and its damaging effects may be greatly reduced. And that's why neurosurgeon Dr. Russell Blaylock created his brain repair formula to reduce brain inflammation and maintain a healthy brain. So, for a free book on brain health or information on Dr. Blaylock's special brain repair formula, call 1-800-SPECIAL or visit 1-800-SPECIAL.com. 1-800-SPECIAL.
You're tuned to the Global Star Radio Network. Thanks for listening.
Welcome to the Power Hour, ladies and gentlemen. Today is Friday, the 9th of October, and yes, I think we bombed the moon. What for? We don't know. But I think by noon we're going to know if we kicked off the aliens, right, ladies and gentlemen? We're going to know if we've done something we shouldn't have done. I don't know why we did it in the first place. It's something about to see if there's any water on the moon. I don't know about you, but, you know, if you want to go see if there's any water in a pond, you don't go bomb the pond normally. I mean, normally, right? I mean, maybe, I don't know. I'm just flummoxed by this one, why we would do that. And also, there's another one. There's a really, what I want to call a whiskey tango hilo out there. You know what whiskey tango hilo is? Well, if you don't understand, that's okay. But it's the mnemonic from the military alphabet. What the... Did you hear who got the Nobel Peace Prize? We will talk about that and all the possible reasons why that person got the Nobel Peace Prize. If you haven't been watching Gold, it's up there. It's yesterday it was at 1060. You know, it's interesting. It's staying right behind one of the market positions. It's interesting. It stays right behind it about 10 points. We'll talk about that later, but it's supposed to be going to maybe 1,500. They were even talking on television about 2,500. Now all of a sudden it's like, oh yeah, we told you about gold. No, you didn't. You tried to keep everybody away from it. That's what you did. Also, Glenn Beck yesterday discussed fully, I mean, his idea of fully discussing the H1N1, the Heine flu. He didn't call it that, but we do. He discussed the Heine flu, and he says he's made a decision. And I'll tell you what his decision is about the Heine flu. Congress appears to have acted to extend the hate crimes to cover gays. They placed it in the defense bill. Well, I got a call yesterday from Ted Pike, who said it may be a little bit different than that. So what we're going to do is we're going to have Ted Pike on at 7:30 to give us the update as to what happened with the hate crimes bill, or what is happening with the hate crimes bill. Let's see, we're going to talk about many issues regarding the swine flu vaccine, because historical data shows that the vaccines are not what saved us. There is a lawsuit that's been filed by a lieutenant colonel in Florida. Oh, man, this is great. She said, I'm not taking it, and I'm going to file this in the state of Florida. Well, we need to get that lawsuit and take it to a few other states, I do believe. Maybe we'll be looking for committees of one that will do that also in their own particular state, as well as there is an attorney in New York who's filed a lawsuit, and this is a huge one. And we're going to have him on the show today. Jim Turner has filed a major lawsuit against the swine flu vaccine, and he'll be joining us at 8 o'clock today. You don't want to miss that. We're going to find out